Concern over the mental health impact of COVID-19 measures is rising.
More than 5 in 10 people say that they wouldn't want to live near or work with a person with a mental health condition.
If you have mental illness, you apply for a job. But who in the right sense will really want to take you?
If possible, I would just stay away as far as possible.
Hi everyone, a warm welcome to Hope Church Singapore. We are based in Singapore, but every week we have different people joining us from all over the world. We're so glad to have you here in our online service. Today is our special service weekend. We take a break from our usual sermon series to talk about a relevant topic that anyone can hear and learn about. Today we are talking on the topic on mental and emotional health. Mastering our mind. A very relevant topic, especially in this season of the pandemic and economic uncertainty. If you are new here with us, we truly welcome you because you are important to God and to us. Thanks for making time to join us in church. So if you are new, can you type the word new, N-E-W, in the group chat, and our online ministers would love to get connected with you. It is our privilege today to have a special guest, Dr. Daniel Fung. He's here with us on Zoom, and Dr. Daniel is the chairman of the medical board in the Institute of Mental Health, IMH, and his experience in speaking about this topic, especially in this season. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Daniel and let's go straight into the interview. So hi, Dr. Daniel Fung.
Hi, Pastor.
So glad to have you here with us. Thanks for joining us in church today. You know, maybe for a start, you can just introduce yourself and maybe tell us about more what you do.
Well, I'm Daniel Fung. I'm a child psychiatrist by training, so I work with children. And of course, a psychiatrist, the simplest way of putting it is that we are feelings doctor. We help people with their feelings. So I work with children in my clinical work. In my other job, I'm the chairman medical board of the Institute of Mental Health. That's like the chief psychiatrist of the hospital. And I have to look after the 2,000 overbeds that we have, or inpatients, and about 40,000 outpatients that we look after for very serious mental illnesses. I'm a father of 5 children. They're all grown up. And my eldest is pregnant and going to have a baby. So I'm looking forward to that new phase in my life.
Thanks for the introduction. Can you share with us more about how this pandemic has affected many people, especially in the area of mental health?
Yeah, so I think if you think about the effects of the pandemic, how are we affected by all the changes that occurred the moment we our government announced DOSCON Orange, and shortly after we went into our version of the lockdown, circuit breaker. That had put a lot of restrictions on what we are used to. I mean, most of our social activities have been changed, and even our interaction. Now, remember, I have a family of 5 kids, 2 of them are married. Getting the whole family together in a regular kind of a meeting, and we meet, every week, was severely curtailed. And it was difficult, even just to have meals. So some of these restrictions has created a lot of fear and anxiety, and certainly has affected people. It's even in some cases almost traumatized by this whole event, which has changed our lives completely. Now, I think the greatest piece that hasn't really played out is the economic recession and how that's going to affect our lives and our jobs. And that in itself may have a lot of impact on our emotional health and our feelings and how we cope with life. So there are a lot of impact And it's very largely stress-related.
Indeed, these are stressful times for many people in their lives. How can we understand this area of mental health better?
I think it's helpful to talk a little bit about mental disease and disorders and illness and give you a better understanding of the various dimensions of mental health. So first, mental disease is actually a pathological process. So if you take COVID-19 as an example, if you catch the virus, you can have a cough, you can have a fever, or you can have a raging pneumonia. Illness is your experience of that virus infection. So the disease is the virus, the illness is your experience. Mental illness is the same. What about sickness? Sickness is actually the role negotiated in society. So if you have COVID-19 and you are infected and you have a fever, what will happen is you'll be isolated. People will put you in a place where you cannot spread to other people. So the same with mental sickness. People are sometimes afraid of mental illnesses, and therefore they have what I consider a stigma towards it. So sickness is really the role that society takes. Now, overall, of course, is mental health, the state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely just disease absence. And that means if no disease doesn't mean you're mentally healthy. It's broader than that. First, there is mental illness, which is the experience of a mental disease. So we put them as one. There's mental sickness, which is what society thinks of mental illness. And then there's mental health, which is very broad. People talk about mental health as though it is interchangeable with mental illness. It's not the same thing, right? Let me explain. One good example of mental illness is depression. For example, if you have something happen in your life and something bad happens, you might get a little upset and annoyed. If that bad thing gets very bad to the extent that it affects your life tremendously, you might even be heartbroken. You become unhappy. Stress causes unhappiness, kind of a destabilizing effect. And you can have a mental illness like depression, but being unhappy with your life is not the same thing as depression. They can coexist, but they're not necessarily the same thing. So just remember, mental illness and mental health are two sides of this this pyramid. So mental illness needs treatment, mental health needs support to get up.
Thanks, Dr. Daniel, for that explanation and understanding. It really gives some clarity on the various terms that we know. I'm sure in this season, there are many of us who are faced with lots of stress, and with some of us might be facing some mental health issues. And there are some of us that are unsure if we are really having a mental health issue. So what should one do if I think that I suffer from a mental health issue?
The key thing is really to be able to talk to someone. And, you know, if you can't solve it yourself, most mental health distress issues, you can solve it yourself. When it gets to problems, sometimes you can't. But if you talk to someone you trust, you know, your friends, your colleagues, and together you seem to say, well, you know, we can't quite explain this, then it could be a mental illness. That's where you go and seek professional help. And in Singapore, we've created an ecosystem of support. There are a number of support systems. Firstly, we have a national care hotline, which you can call. It's 24/7. We also have some websites. The most well-developed one is done by the Ministry of Health technology site. It's called MindLine, MindLine. Remember, mental illnesses is not that common. 1 in 7 Singaporeans get a lifetime risk of this. It's not something that you know, happens every day. So most of the time, it is mental health problems where you need to find ways to cope and manage the difficulties in your life, especially if the difficulties are very obvious to you. For example, if there's financial difficulties, when your relationships are in trouble, these are very obvious things that you need to address.
That's really good, Dr. Daniel. I'm sure that many of us will find these various channels and helplines really helpful, especially for some of us that we know someone around us that needs help. I know they know who to turn to now. Could you also share more with us how every one of us can cope better with all this COVID-19 related stresses and the impact that it's having on our mental health?
I thought I'd share a little bit about the determinants of health. most of us know this as the basic determinants of health. Biological factors, like our physical well-being. So are we fit? Do we have a good lifestyle? For example, do we eat well? Do we sleep well? Do we have good habits and we don't smoke? And then social determinants, which is our interactions with the people around us, our families, and psychological determinants of health. What's our thinking like? How, you know, when we have stress, how do we cope with it? What do we tell ourselves? So these are the basic things that most people will think. It's called biopsychosocial. But alongside this is, which we seldom talk about, is the spiritual aspect. Now, some people say, oh, spiritual should come under, you know, social, cultural, you know. But I think it really deserves a place as a determinant of health. And it's an important place because it's an aspect of our life. I always say that when we are stressed, we need to have a support system. So the most important support system, like a chair, the chair has four legs, right? So you must have a support system like a chair, you know, at least four elements, if not more. So what are the four elements? Well, you must be able to, you know, have time to relax, what I call fun, you know, things that you enjoy doing. You must have a family support system that, or that, you know, provides you with the kind of emotional support. And I think as Christians, one of the things that that are most useful in my mind is really the fellowshipping with fellow Christians and your friends. And then finally, I think it is also important to have some glance and some glimpse of the future that you hope for yourself. And I think that's a very important support system. A lot of people work for certain things. In this world, in this very secular world, people work for money. But we are working for something different, right? And as Christians, working for God's kingdom and what it means, you got to help people. You got to show compassion. And those aspects of our life actually helps to support us. When you're helping people, suddenly you feel, you know, a new energy. You're better able to do things. So I think those are quite critical. So having those support systems in place, very important. For example, you've got a headache or your body is aching, you can't sleep well. Sleep, in fact, is very important. Those are signs that you are, you know, you're struggling and you may have some mental health problems. And that's when you start to sort of share those problems. I think it's a good start to be able to share it with your family, your friends. And of course, you should pray as well, because you should share it with God, you know, if that's a concern for you. And then, of course, if after you've done all that and still not working, I think some professional help is useful.
Thanks for the practical tips and insights. Just now you mentioned about this spiritual aspect of our life. What is the difference between spirituality and religion?
Spirituality is actually an inner subjective awareness concerned with matters of meaning and purpose in life, truth and values. While religion really is about a grounding of faith and the basis of life that ties us to God. To put it simply, spirituality changes mood, but religion changes life.
I really like how you say it. Religion changes life. It's true that religion is more than just being spiritual. As a Christian, I have seen how many people's lives are being transformed from their relationship they have with Jesus. And I know you too are a Christian for many years, and your faith has definitely influenced the way that you help people. And there are many people who might be watching us right now that they do not know Jesus yet. Now, what would you say to them, to all those people who do not know Jesus yet?
Well, I would say, first of all, I mean, you know, if they are open to reading a book, there is one book that they should be reading. It's the most popular book, a bestseller in all the world. It's called the Bible. It's a good place to start. And I'd recommend that to people that, you know, who are curious, who want to know about who is this God and what is this Jesus, then read the Bible. That's the Word of God. So that's the best place to start. Then the second, I guess, you know, one of the effects of the pandemic is that it allows us to visit all the churches. My wife has been visiting many churches
online during the
pandemic, because you can. In the past, it's kind of hard to visit, and if you're new, you kind of feel very cheaper, should we go to a new place? But now you can visit a church and experience the church service.
Read the Bible and visit church online. That sounds like great starting steps. Thanks, Dr. Daniel, for your time and your wisdom that and your knowledge that you've shared with us. We're so blessed by you today.
Thanks. Okay.
Our time together have not ended yet. I really hope for you to stay on because I love to share with you some more thoughts about God's perspective into this area of mental and emotional health. There'll be this wonderful story towards the end about someone who has struggled through this challenging season of depression and even contemplate suicide in his life. You don't want to miss that. So whether you are a believer of Jesus or not yet, there are two things that I love to share with you. Firstly, God is a personal God and He understands what we go through. Now, when we go through, or rather when we are going through some of the toughest mental and emotional struggles, no human being can fully understand what we are going through. Have you ever experienced that before? When you were sharing your experience to someone and the person, you know, tried to say, I understand. And the person tried to tell you something that is common to their experience, in yet in their experience to you, and they try to identify with you. But you know that they come from a good heart. You don't mind them saying this because they're trying to understand you. But you know that no human being can fully understand you. But God is different. Because He knows exactly our thoughts and what we are going through. The Bible tells us in this verse, O Lord, You have examined my heart and You know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. In the book of Psalms 139, it says this, God is a personal God and He knows every single one of us. He hears all your thoughts. He fully understands what you are going through. And that's why we say Christianity is not a religion where you merely follow a set of beliefs and values in the hope that it changes you. But Christianity is truly about a living, real relationship with God that we can have through Jesus. When Jesus came onto earth, He was 100% human. He experienced the kind of pain that humans go through. Physical pain of torture, the mental pain of facing the crucifixion, the emotional pain of rejection and betrayal. The Bible even describes Him as a man of sorrows who have gone through many pains. Jesus fully understands our human sufferings. You know, when I go through such time of stress in my life, I cry out to God. I say, God, why? Why do I have to go through this? God, help me. Save me. Lord, I need You. I do not know what to do. I cry out to God. And it doesn't matter He gives me a solution or He delivers me out. But I know this. He hears me. And He understands what I'm going through. Friends, I want to tell you that God hears you. You can cry out to Him. Every one of us can just do that. And He understands what you are going through. The second thing that I would love to share with you is that God longs to meet us in our pain and suffering. When we go through such stress and such pain in our life, the human thing to do is to run away. You wish for your situation to change. You pray that God will take away the pain and the issue. And the human thing to do is to just numb ourselves and just distract ourselves with all the pleasures and the busyness of life. But what if? What if God is using what you are going through, what you are feeling right now, as a loud hailer? Hello? To call you, to draw you close to Him. He is shouting into your heart right now to draw you close to Him through your very situation. In Psalms 34, verse 18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He is close to you. Rather, He longs to be close to you in your suffering and pain. He can give you what people can. He can fill you with more than what the pleasures and the busyness in life can. He can fill you with true peace, with true hope, with true meaning. And He is the only one that can bring healing to you. Only God can do that. Some of us have tried many ways to master our minds. Many human methods, like science, like psychology. We've tried all these things, and sometimes they seem limited. Sometimes they even fail us. And perhaps it's not by mastering our mind that we ultimately gain freedom, but it is by surrendering to the Master, to God and His Word, and allow God to become the master of your mind. Because God is the Creator who truly knows you, who truly knows how our mind works, how life works, and God truly loves you. Today, I hope to share this story with you of someone in our church that have allowed God to do just that in his life. When he opened his life up to Jesus and allowed Jesus to come into his life. Let's hear the story of Chan Sing.
Hi, my name is Chan Sing. I'm a businessman and I like to run, I like to swim and sometimes cycle. 7 years ago, I attempted suicide. It's like being in a bottomless pit, whereby you just drop down further and further, and all you see around you is darkness. You don't see any light. You try to reach out and there's no one there. You're just dropping in deeper and deeper and sinking in. And it's quite a very depressing feeling. I joined this company as a what they call a junior position. So because I wanted to prove myself, I was quite a overachiever. So within 3 years, I actually got promoted twice. This time was pretty bad because actually when I mentioned I did work 12 to 16 hours a day, and basically I treated my house more like a hotel. It's like I just go back to sleep, rest, and then I get to work. So before I leave work, and by the time I reach home, basically I don't get to see my parents a lot. So there's, I can say at the point in time, there was almost like zero communication. So somehow I managed to have a girlfriend, which I met during my studies. But I guess the work issue also led us to be quite distant. I think with this unending work and this failure in the relationships, I felt really depressed, and I felt very alone because there was really no one I could share my sorrows or joys with. Finally, I decided to take leave during Chinese New Year period. However, on the eve of me taking leave, my boss came up to me and told me that I was quite an important client, starting a new project, and asked me whether I could take over this project. So at that time, it just so happened that I found out that my girlfriend was two-timing me, and I had a break. Yeah, I broke up with her at that time. So I decided to just cancel my leave to try to work my pain and sadness away. It made me feel even more alone, because on my supposedly own time or leave time, I was working. I thought it could help me get away from the pain, but instead, I felt even worse. This is meaningless. Why am I doing this to myself? Like, why am I working when everyone's enjoying? Why do people have friends when I don't? And why do I have to suffer all this? I'm not a bad person. I'm smart, I'm capable, but how come my life is so alone and such a mess? That's when I realized that life is really meaningless. Why should I live for this? I must just end it and go some, yeah, go, just end it and maybe I'll be happier somewhere else. Yeah. So that's when I decided to, yeah, kill myself. This was when I was in my research job. So I went on a work trip to China. But while in the airport, I actually met a young Christian who actually shared that she was on a mission trip. She actually went to a mountain village in somewhere in China to teach the village kids English. And then she did it all on her own accord, her own money. She saved up to go for this trip for herself. And initially, I was quite skeptical. I was wondering why someone who is sacrificing so much and getting nothing in return. I think that's the beef. Getting nothing in return, giving out so much, yet find joy. And yet, I was looking at my own life. By the end, I just couldn't find that inner joy that I sensed that this girl, this young Christian was having. And I'm guessing she had it much harder than me, and I'm just curious why someone with such a hard life and yet could live with so much joy, but I was living the life, yet I felt totally alone, lost and empty inside. Because all that she was sharing, she attributed to this God who gave her strength and courage to do this. Out of curiosity, I did download a Bible app, then I started to read few verses here and there. By the time, I guess some of the words are like typical self-help books kind of sayings, and I was like, okay, but it didn't really make a lot of sense, and I probably didn't understand what a lot of the passages mean at the time. I was just reading them like a storybook. Even though I was very curious, when I came back to work, I got caught up back in my long hours of work and all that. So the Chinese New Year period, whereby I came back to work, and when I was contemplating suicide, and when I finally decided to do it, actually I planned a date to commit suicide, but on that day when I was about to jump, something stopped me. Somehow a verse that I read before came into my mind. And this verse was from Philippians chapter 4. It says about, do not be anxious about anything, and in all things, give your petitions to God, and then He will give you peace that transcends all understanding. So when that word peace that transcends all understanding flashed across my mind, I really felt something strange, a sense of total peace and comfort in my mind, in my heart, and that stopped me from wanting to kill myself. I suddenly see a light in the end of the tunnel. I wasn't feeling that hopeless anymore. So I stopped my suicide attempt, and then I realized that I need to find out more about this God. Yeah, I think I was looking at all the material things of the world and trying to fuel it, to make me happy, to satisfy me. But I realized all these things won't last. But when I experience God's peace, that feeling lasted. It never went away. And it continued to change my life daily. I could get a new gadget or get a new hobby and buy new equipment and all that. I could get happy a few days, weeks, months, but eventually I'll get tired of it, look for new things. But with this peace that I felt, it was lasting. It must not have come from just myself, because I tried so hard to change, but I can't. And then when I read the verse and this verse came to me, it transformed my life entirely. So I know for sure that it must come from a higher being. I have grown to be more loving towards people, and especially towards my family. I realized I don't have to work 12 to 16 hours anymore. Because a lot of times I realize it's more on because I had nothing better to do. But now I realize, hey, there's so much more I could give to others. So when I start to devote my time, I wanted to serve this God that I know. I was like started to serve in ministry, and from then I never looked back, because serving in Hope Kids also gave me a meaning, a purpose, because I also want to disciple the next generation well. And throughout all this, God has been very faithful, and God has given me a lot of blessings and enabled me to also find my spouse and also really help build out the relationship with my family and all that. Yeah, definitely still a work in progress. But then I trust that, and I believe that what God did for me, that God has really saved my life, and that no matter what, I'll continue to trust in Him and be obedient to Him.
The God who gave Chan Sing the kind of peace is calling out to you. The God that works in Chan Sing's life is the same God that can work in your life as well. God is tugging at your heart to ask you to open your heart to Him. What does inviting Jesus into your life means? It means that you recognize that you're a sinner, that you have turned away from God, but today you decide to come back to Him. You know that you can't do life by yourself anymore. You need a Savior. Believing in Jesus means that you believe in what He has done for you on the cross. You believe that His death on the cross have bought the forgiveness that God has for you. And you can, and your relationship with God can be restored through what Jesus has done. By inviting Jesus into your life, you are saying yes to this new life that God has for you. This new life that God has, this new purpose, this new life that God has for you. And today, it is made possible through Jesus' death and the resurrection. So today, if you hear, if you feel the nudge of Jesus in your heart, if you know that He is touching you today, don't hesitate. Today, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, you can say this prayer together with me. Just pray it together with me wherever you are. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know some of you have prayed that prayer. You have opened your hearts to allow Jesus to come to your life. Congratulations. That is the best decision that you can ever make for yourself. Those of you who have said yes to Jesus, you can type the word yes, Y-E-S, yes, into the group chat, or you can click the button that is on your screen right now, and we would love to get connected with you. And as a church, we would love to send you an e-starter kit to help you get started in this new journey with Jesus. Bye-bye.